Hello, you're listening to Linford Christie, and in the next half an hour, I'll be talking about 1993.
It's gold for Britain! It's gold for Linford Christie! Sally Gunnell has taken gold at the World Championships to add to... And Jackson's going to win it! It's Jackson from Gerrard! It's gold and silver for Britain!
Americans have a new leader. An hour ago, Bill Clinton took the oath which makes him the 42nd President of the United States.
For the second time in just over a year, the heart of London's financial district has been devastated by a massive bomb explosion.
All of a sudden we had a huge bang and the floor sort of rippled across towards us and the whole ceiling shook and everything. With all these things
that I've done. There were things that went on, such as Sally Gunnell, Colin Jackson and myself, who became three world champions.
A huge crowd has stayed behind to witness this moment. The medal ceremony for the 100 metres and the moment of glory for Britain's Linford Christie. It was here in Stuttgart in 1986 that he won.
In 93, I ran, you know, pretty well. I mean, it was the year after the Olympics. And I suppose if we go back a year before that, it's in 91. I mean, I felt I was in, you know, maybe the best shape of my life. And I went to the World Championships, which, you know, I felt I could have done very well in. And although I ran a PB, I was fourth, and I ran 9.91, which is a new European record. But you finish fourth and, you know, add the medals, you know. So, I mean, even though, I mean, I was, what, the fourth fastest, you know, man in the world ever, it was one of these things nobody cared. I ran the fourth fastest time in the world, no one cares. So, I mean, I got to the stage where, you know, I wanted to retire, to be honest with you. I felt that I'd run as fast as I ever was going to run, and that was it. And then I announced I was going to retire. A lot of people decided, oh God, you know, you can't retire. We bought a ticket for Barcelona, and then, you know, I decided, okay, I'll give it one more shot, which I suppose I'm glad I did.
And this time they do get away. Christie gets a good start despite those false starts, and it's Mitchell who has the lead at the halfway stage. And gold for Linford Christie.
You know, I ran pretty well and I won the Olympics because everyone would think that maybe 92 then would be a year that I would choose. But for me, the Olympics was just quite an anticlimax, to be honest with you. You know, we had Carl Lewis and Andre Kaysen, two Americans who didn't make the team in 92, started shouting off that I only won the Olympics because they weren't there, and it annoyed me in a way. I suppose what annoyed me even more was the fact that the British newspapers gave them mileage in it. You know, I thought, well, bring it on. You know, 1993, you know, it's the World Championship year, which I suppose was a good thing. You know, it gave me a time then, you know, to come out there and prove yourself again, which is something that I, you know, I enjoyed, to be honest with you. It was the year of Two Unlimited, No Limit. I grew up on the old gospel thing. You know, because my parents are Christians and everything else, so I grew up on the old gospel thing. But, you know, in my house on a Sunday morning, you can hear Jim Reeves, Pat Boone, Elvis. You know, as long as they sang Christian songs, then that's what came out of our house. You know, the Chuck Wagon Gang. Not many people even know who the Chuck Wagon Gang is, but if it wasn't church music, then it wasn't played in our house. Jesus will help you. So that's the sort of thing I grew up on. And then friends and, you know, a few of my relatives who weren't in the church, then they played the old reggae and stuff like that. And being born in Jamaica, you know, you hear both, you know, reggae and a lot of pop. I'm a Jamiroquai fan. Jamiroquai, Shepherd's Bush Boy, you know, West London.
I, William Jefferson Clinton, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And
46, Bill Clinton is the third youngest man ever to move into the White House and the first Democrat president since Jimmy Carter left office.
This new world has already enriched the lives of millions of Americans who are able to compete and win in it.
All black people, great percentage of black people are Bill Clinton fans. He was up front. Not forthcoming, but you see, the thing is, so what? Bill Clinton was one of the young guys, you know? I think he was more in touch, being the young crowd at the time. He was more in touch with people, you know, I think. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, in the past we've had prime ministers and, you know, presidents, you know, when you're 70, I mean, what can you tell the young people? You know, you're 70, your kids are 50. So they've lost touch. So when Bill Clinton came in, it was just one of these new presidents, new young guy, and everyone then think, okay, you know, he's nearer to our age group, we can trust him a little bit more, because rather than seeing, you know, I suppose seeing him as your dad, you saw him as, you know, a guy who could be your mate. 1993, the year also when Meatloaf had the best-selling single, I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That. And also the year where Lorraine Bobbitt did just that.
As her husband John slept, Lorena Bobbitt took a kitchen knife, cut off his penis, then drove off in her car. She threw the penis out of the car window. It was later recovered by police and surgically reattached in a 9.5-hour operation.
Now, something that stuck out in everybody's mind. You felt it. You know, you felt it for it. I mean, everyone was going, oh, you know. But he turned it round and became a porn star. So, just one of these things, you know. I mean, I felt it gave a lot of women that kind of idea. So men were behaving themselves.
And down they go once again. Lewis versus Christie, the 100 metres here.
There's only two things in 93 that stands out in my mind, to be honest with you. There was a meeting set up. Of course, they arranged a meeting between, a race between me and Carl Lewis. At Gateshead, which, I mean, for me was great, because there was never any doubt in my mind that, you know, I beat him, but it was just a funny race. You know, this was before the World Championships, and it was built up, you know, this race of the century and all this thing. And, you know, what I thought was really funny was, you know, Carlos was coming over here, you know, to race me, and, you know, he was doing a lot of talking. He came on Concorde, he got a Rolls Royce, you know, to the track, he was doing all that kind of stuff. And I threw up on the shuttle, and we got a taxi, I think, to the hotel and stuff like that, you know. And funny thing is, they invited another American guy in the race, John Drummond, who almost stole the show. You know, he got out so quick. I mean, I didn't catch him until maybe 10 metres from the line, which, you know, always spoil the party.
Away they go. Lewis gets a good start, and so does Christie. Christie, fine start, and Drummond is in the lead along with Christie. Lewis is beaten. It's Drummond and Christie side by side. Christie wins. In second place was Drummond, and Lewis was well back. Christie celebrates the time, 10.09. Gateshead celebrates, and the crowd is going wild.
I knew Carl was never going to beat me, you know, and, you know, every dog has his day, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Carl, you know, I always said he was the greatest of his era, and, you know, as the greatest of mine. And unfortunate for him, it's just that we cross paths, you know.
Actually has a tracksuit on and a very snazzy one as well, Carl. Give us your thoughts on the race, if you would.
Well, I just wasn't really that sharp today. I mean, I came over yesterday and I'm a little flat today. I just didn't feel the way I wanted to. But basically, you know, those kind of races happen, and the main thing is I'll be ready and rested by the time the World Championships come.
So for you, the big one really is Germany, and I get the impression you weren't so focused for tonight.
Well, this is an important race for the sport, and of course it's great to be here, and it's great to have this meet. Shoot, I needed it. I'm building a house. But
there's some singers out there who, you know, can sing, but you can't understand a word they say. And people who can understand every single word she sings. Search for the hero, that's, you know, it's one of, you know, my thing. And, you know, it's, apart from the fact we're good friends.
Grant and Andy McDowell invite you to Four Weddings and a Funeral from the creators of Enchanted April and Blackadder. Feel it in my
finger. Almighty God bless you all. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Spirit.
Andy McDowell, wasn't it? I mean, she was, you know, I suppose you watched it because she was gorgeous. You know, it wasn't because he was made by, you know, British filmmaker or whatever. You know, I don't go to the movies because of who makes the film or whatever sometimes. You know, I go to the movies to watch a good film regardless. And I will always love you. The Bodyguard I've seen, The Fugitive I've seen, and this proposal I've seen. Some of those films that, you know, you can sit down and watch over and over again. I love my, you know, Shaolin Kung Fu sort of thing, you know, Jet Li, Jackie Chan, you know, Silver Fox. You know, that takes me back to, you know, my childhood days when we used to go to late night cinema, and I think it's maybe about 11 o'clock at night. Guys, we would walk for miles, no matter where you live, to get to the cinema to watch a Kung Fu, and then at the end, everyone was a Kung Fu expert. I came to get down, I came to get down, so get out your seat and jump around, jump around. You know, you'd walk down the road and someone would come, and whoo-choo, you know, jump past you, and we'd all be doing the moves, you know. It was just amazing, you know. I remember when Jackie Chan, Snake and Eagle Shadow came out. They had to use two cinemas to show the Jackie Chan films. I mean, you walk into West London or, you know, walk around London, ask anyone about late nights, and there was one Chinese guy who would control the whole crowd. No matter how bad everyone thought they were, if you're a Chinese guy, you can do Kung Fu. It was just one of these things. So we'd all, you know, we all had nunchucks. You'd make your nunchuckers out of rubber handles, and you'd be practicing your skills, and that's what's, you know, cinema, going to cinema was. You're listening to Limpa Christie, talking about 1993, the year I became the undisputed fastest man in the world, Lennox Lewis, who became the undisputed first British heavyweight champion of the world.
And Lewis just flicks out a very tired-looking jab, and then a vicious left hook. But Tucker Cookie's on the gloves, and Tucker has him.
The winner, and still heavyweight champion of the world,
there we are.
Lennox
Lewis. He is a big guy. He's an absolute, and you know the thing about him, he is such a nice guy. He's, you know, a gentle giant. You know, he's polite. You know, so, I mean, he always, you know, he talks nicely to people and everything else. And something that always, you know, amazes me is that Lennox has bodyguards. You know, and Lennox most probably beat up all his bodyguards. You know, so you wonder, I mean, why are you protecting me? You know, why, if I'm the best fighter in the world, you know, why do I need bodyguards? But Lennox is a great guy, nice guy.
They look forward to this trophy, 30 inches high, weighing over 25 pounds, and Rick Perry, the chief executive of the Premier League, hands it over. It's United's night, it's United season. Robson and Bruce together receive the acclaim of Old Trafford.
He doesn't bother with the black. He shakes hands with Jimmy White. Stephen Hendry is champion for the third time in 4 years. He beats Jimmy White by 18 frames to 5.
Floyd's putt assured the Americans of the half point they needed for victory when leading 13.5 to 12.5. The players had done their job, and their captain, Tom Watson, could lift the Ryder Cup again.
It's a fantastic feeling. Both these teams played tremendous golf.
Pete Sampras breathing very heavily indeed here after 2 hours and 58 minutes on court. Match point again to Sampras. He sails now, comes in. Sampras comes into the net, plays a backhand volley. Down the line goes Courier, and it's into the net. And Pete Sampras is
Sampras
Wimbledon champion.
Three sets to one.
For the first time. And he walks across and is congratulated by Jim Courier.
I go to Wimbledon all the time. I'm a tennis fan. I love tennis. And, you know, I've been lucky to see Sampras play a few times. You know, people say, oh, Sampras was boring and stuff like that, you know, sometimes, but he was a winner. And some, you know, I think people don't, you know, understand what it takes to be a winner. You know, I think Sampras was a great player. You know, he came off the back of the McEnroes and all those kind of guys, Bjorn Borg and all that, you know. I mean, they were great players. And to take it, you know, to a different level, you know, you can't ask more from the guy who's brilliant.
Second serve.
And it's not a double fault, it's a forehand service return. And Graf's there for the forehand volley. Up goes the lob. Graf's underneath it for the smash. Yeah, she's put it away. Steffi Graf has won it. Up goes the racket in the air.
1-6, 6-4.
And Steffi Graf kisses Jana Novotná on both cheeks.
Oh, I used to fancy Steffi. She had a body. I think she bought out, the best in, a lot of the other tennis players, because they realised then, we got to go out there and, do what we need to do. If we're going to beat this girl, we've got to make sure that we're in shape.
Police in the German city of Hamburg are still questioning a man about a knife attack on the world's top woman tennis player, Monica Seles. She was stabbed in the back while resting between games.
...cried out in pain and sank to the floor while the assailant was overpowered and then arrested.
The Monica thing was, it was a tragedy because, she was just coming up to the prime of her career. She was dominating. She was never the same again.
When your day is long,
and to be honest, I think things like that, when, I hope they sentence the guy to life imprisonment, to be honest with you, because, all right, she didn't die, but he wrecked her career. For a sports person, something like that happening to you and it calls your career to an end, it's almost like death.
Taken away tonight to be locked up indefinitely after they were convicted of the murder of 2-year-old James Bulger. The judge said the killing was an act of unparalleled evil and brutality, and they should be detained for very, very many years.
A 4-year-old child has been killed in the terrorist attack in Warrington and Cheshire. Two bombs went off in the heart of the town shopping centre at lunchtime.
Police have arrested three teenagers in connection with the murder of 18-year-old Stephen Lawrence in southeast London 2 weeks ago. Stephen was black, and local people say his killing was racially motivated.
With Stephen Lawrence, his parents really and truly for us were fighters, because, I come from an era where a lot of black people, certain things happened and they just let it go because, we can't be bothered. And it's hassle. I come from the days when they had the sus law, where you were afraid to stand in the bus stop or you look into a shop window because you got arrested for suspicion to rob, even though there were no witnesses and there was no intent in the first place. But, something happened and you got taken to court and you're innocent and you start to fight it. But, you go to magistrate's court and then they'll say, okay, so-and-so was sick, one officer was sick, and it just kept dragging on and on and on and on and on. And eventually you're thinking, okay, God, how much more longer do I have to do it? So we let it go. We think, okay, you plead guilty, you get a slap on the wrist or you get bound over to keep the peace or whatever, and we let it go. So these were parents who, Stephen Lawrence's parents, they fought this thing and they kept fighting and carrying on and on and on and on, draw it to attention. And they actually got this thing drawn, to public's attention, so people, it just wasn't going to go away. And, for me, they were fighters. I've had, the good fortune to have met both parents. And they are held in high esteem in the black community because, what they did was to show people, if you believe in something, fight for it. You're listening to Linford Christie, talking about 1993. The World Championship's going to be my favourite because, everybody who was anybody was there in the World Championships. One or two people that weren't there at the Olympics, who were there at the World Championships. So, I just wanted to, go out there and dominate and be world champion on top of that.
And they get away first time. Good start from Christie. Kaysen's with him, so too's Mitchell.
Kaysen for just under 10 seconds, I don't have a friend in the world. When I'm out there, I don't need no friends. We can be mates and everything after the race. We can love and hug and everything else, but for that just under 10 seconds, I don't have a friend in the world. And, for me, everything shuts off once I'm out there on the track, and the guy says, on your marks, or tracksuit off, that's me. I'm world of my own. My focus is on getting from A to B as fast as possible. Don't want to look nice, I don't want to look pretty, because it doesn't matter. And, that's what I'm all about. For us, it's like 10 minutes, and you think people get tired. You get tired in 10 seconds. You have every energy you've got in your body, you've got to muster it. Then once you cross the line, then it just...
Kaysen hits the front, Mitchell is there, and so too is Christie. Christie comes through, and Christie's won it! And Christie has won it! 9.87 is the unofficial time. Kaysen headed him at the halfway stage. Christie's broken the European record at 33. It's the greatest run he's ever produced. And the two men hold each other now. The small figure of André Kaysen, the taller figure of Linford Christie. Carl Lewis goes across to congratulate him. The argument has been settled. The greatest sprinter in the world, the fastest man on earth, is British, and it's Linford Christie. Linford Christie steps forward and steps up onto the podium, and the stadium erupts. This is his great moment of triumph, 9.87 seconds, and Linford Christie is now the world champion, and he has the gold medal round his neck. Then comes Batten into the straight, and it's still Farmer Patrick. Gunnell, though, now makes a challenge. They've got one barrier to clear. Farmer Patrick's ahead. Gunnell tries to go past her. They're side by side, and Gunnell's going to get there. Sally Gunnell's got there, and it's a world record. 52.74. What a race that was, and what a moment for Sally Gunnell. And away they go first time. Great start from Jarrett, so too from Dees. But Jackson hits the front, and Jackson's starting to come clear from Dees and Jarrett. Jarrett moves up into second place. Jackson's going to win it. It's Jackson from Jarrett. It's gold and silver for Britain. It's another world record.
I was there. It was just after me, after I won the World Championship. Yeah, I was there. I mean, I was in the stands, cheering him on. I mean, I screamed so much, I lost my voice because, in our sport, again, it was mainly, American dominated. When Conny went out there and, he won, and then, I think Sally Gunnell was out there before us, if I'm not mistaken. So, we came away with, myself, Colin and Sally dominating the events, which is normally, American believe it's their own. Really nice.
Running round bare-chested, just in his shorts. Colin Jackson now makes his way across to the side of the track. He's hugged by any number of British fans there. Everybody wanting to congratulate Colin Jackson, third gold medal for Britain. And now he's got the Union flag over his shoulders and he's jogging away onto the far side of the track. And Colin Jackson...
In first place, the only runner in history to hold at the same time Commonwealth, European, Olympic and World titles, and now adds the BBC Sports Personality of the Year trophy to his glittering list of achievements. Ladies and gentlemen, Linford Christie.
I felt, to be honest with you, because everyone puts the emphasis on being an Olympic champion, I should have won the BBC personality, sports personality after the Olympics. But if I hadn't gone back again and won the World Championships, I never would have been BBC personality. Sometimes now you're sitting there thinking, hang a minute, I should have won it twice. it's just one of those things, But I mean, it's great because, they say it's voted for by the public. I want people to vote for me because I'm that guy who caused a stir of emotion in you. And it's the greatest feeling, I think, in the entire world. And stats, you get stats, and you've got these stats guys, will come and tell you these things, later on. And I mean, now, it's, for me, it's one of the great things because, there's only two athletes, I think, who's ever held all the titles, and that's myself and Sally Gunnell. I've had all the titles all at once. It's a good thing. But the nicest part of it, you stand on the line in a race, and they call, they announce in each athlete and everything else, and then when they get to you and they start to reel out all the titles you've won and everything else, and it just goes on forever, it seems forever, and it makes you feel good. It just makes you feel good. They say World, Olympics, Commonwealth, European, all that kind of champion, and to know that you are, one of very few people who've actually held all these titles, and that's telling the rest of the guys, this guy's got credential, he's good. So if you doubt it before, you know it now, sort of thing. And, that gives you an advantage too, without even having to do anything, because that is really telling the guys in the field that you're the one to beat, you're the man.
A Year in the Life has been a document production for BBC Radio 5 Live.